Good afternoon. Today is Friday, November the 1st, 302nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, a little switch-o, change-o this afternoon. We've got Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods.
Going to keep you on your toes.
Oh, you know, I figured this was a power play from the fire department trying to say, I want to be on daylight savings. We got to change batteries.
We do. We need to get that message out. And turkey fryers coming up. Got to talk about those. So perfect timing.
Heat. Yeah, exploding clothing.
Yeah,
okay. I guess it's going to be a seasonal update.
Sizzling.
Yeah, well, at least I'll try my best when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chief Woods. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Aaron Copland.
All right.
You recognize Aaron Copland?
Musical?
Yeah, good. Okay. Listening to the Fifth Symphony of Ralph Vaughan Williams.
Don't know him.
Is like staring at a cow for 45 minutes. See, I knew that there would be a connection there.
I
can't
understand that one. Yeah, definitely. Right.
Oh, boy. So what's the biggest challenge you guys have had the last month or so? I mean, when we hear law enforcement or public safety, we're hearing Highway 36,
mm-hmm.
death, crash.
Right.
I still haven't figured out in my head how the guy in the overpass in McKinleyville, where they were doing the road work, couldn't see it and hit the... I can't figure that one out for the life of me, unless he stroked out or something, but I understand that wasn't the case.
Just total confusion. I don't know. Yeah, just bad.
But there's been a lot of weird medical stuff lately, haven't there?
There has, from, another hash-related production incident with an individual with burns.
Would that be an exploding house again?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
remember, we can't spell PC here. Don't even try, man.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, an exploding house. And then number of vehicle-related accidents, pedestrians versus vehicles are extremely common. And then...
The Broadway corridor?
Yeah, it's still the Broadway area. It is Broadway and actually 4th and 5th, 101 and down towards RS in that neighborhood down there as well. But those are common, and we're getting a lot of medical calls.
I had one clown this morning, and it wasn't that foggy this morning when I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I would guess about N Street, 6th and N.
Mm-hmm.
Had his little hoodie thing on, okay, and had his earphones on.
Mm-hmm.
There was a car to the left. There was a car in front of me and me.
Right.
Didn't slow down. Walking.
Just walked right out.
Didn't establish eye contact. Just was looking straight ahead.
Right.
Nobody had to lock him up, but there was impacted track. Are we seeing a lot more of those, or am I just getting old and more sensitive?
No, I think we are. I know I have personally, where we have pedestrians that they just continue right out into traffic and expect that the traffic's going to stop for them. And, people, especially when you have three lanes of traffic across, a lot of time that second and third lane over, you're not seeing the person in the last second. And, we're getting vehicle accidents versus pedestrians, but the pedestrians – they don't have the right just to walk right out in front of you there, and it's a problem.
Are their faculties impaired? Okay, no, wait a minute. Are they looped when they walk through, or are these just the invincibles who think everybody's going to see them because I'm important?
I think it's definitely a combination that some that are, alcohol, drugs have an effect on certain individuals out there, and they're out there walking around the street. But there's those individuals as well that think they have just the right of way or impervious to whatever they're going to do. And they're in the right no matter whatever it is.
Have you guys ever had one step out in front of a response when you guys are rolling?
You know, we have, and fortunately we haven't killed anybody with some of our apparatus, but we do, and it's one of the things we continually train on and watch for. And it's one of the most dangerous things that we do is trying to get to the scene. And again, when you're dealing with other drivers and the distractions from, you know, the headphones, whatever it may be, they're driving, and just the sheer number of cars out there, fog, weather, all those types of things. But getting to the scene is one of the most difficult things we do.
So how do you practice avoidance driving with a, 40,000 pounds?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving at, well, let's say at least a cement truck clip, if not a little bit quicker.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
What do you do? Is it swerve? Is that what you try to do? Because you certainly can't stop.
No, and it's right. Of course, we make sure that we are stopping at all the red lights. You know, even though we have the sirens and the lights on, we never assume that another driver is going to just stop for us, that we need to stop, make sure they stop, and then we'll continue through the intersection. But the other part is we have the driver and the captain in the front seat, and they're constantly communicating with each other, clear right, clear left, proceed, here comes a car, and it's that talking communication back and forth that frankly gets us out of a lot of potentially hazardous situations as well, because you have the extra set of eyes. And again, we're training on it. We practice driving. We practice, you know, have to have a special driver's license for those type of apparatus because of the equipment. And it's something that's constantly on our minds.
Yelling stop probably is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa!
Doesn't have a huge impact outside the cab, right? Yeah.
Oh boy! But yeah, I can see some of these clowns walking out, or the bicycle,
right?
Now, what about the bicyclists that feel that they're really a motorist, mm-hmm. and have all the rights and have the attitude thereof? Mm-hmm. Are you running into that at all?
Yeah, I think we see it more so just generally driving around town, where you'll have a bicyclist who's right smack on the line, and the engines are extremely wide, and then you add the mirrors to them, and you then put another truck coming at you, and it can be a challenge at time to avoid hitting pedestrians or a bicyclist who's walking out there right on the line or riding their bike on the line. So it's something we need to be extremely careful of, and we think about, and that's, we train our drivers with that in mind.
It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, some of the different challenges I know when you guys are dealing with fire or responses, you've had a couple of these laboratory blow-ups.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is it more prevalent because this time of the year? Is it more prevalent because there's more of them? Are the people doing it now a little sloppy? I mean,
I think it's more prevalent, and it does get more this time of year where people are using gas, butane, to do their refining, and they're also trying to keep their building warm, so they have their heater on, and the gas is seeking its lowest point, and it finds the ignition source, and then we have the explosion. So, you know, you couple those two together, number one, the illegal activity, but then in the environment where you're more propensity due to having your heater on, trying to keep, you know, just your normal house warm, we're going to have those, and we do see them. And normally the injuries are pretty severe. Burns are significant in those types of calls we go to.
Do you know going out?
We don't. A lot of times it's an investigation, smoke scene, explosion, general medical call for a burn. And, you know, normally burns, we're expecting kitchen-type burns when we go to a call.
But why would they call a fire department, you know, if I've scalded myself? I don't need five guys. You know, I'm probably going to go to the hospital.
And right? For these type of calls, these are severe burns, second, third degree burns on a significant part of the body, you know, 25, 40%. So it can get pretty graphic.
I guess I'm a little confused. Why wouldn't you know rolling? Okay, well,
when someone calls dispatch, they're not always providing up front with the information. So you may just, so-and-so is here, they're burned, and they need medical help, as opposed to, you know, I've had a kitchen fire, and I tried to put it out, but I burned my hands, you know? So a lot of times, it's less information than what might normally be there.
And probably because of the illegal nature of it, there may be some hesitation.
Right.
So when you guys get there, how do you know what you're running into? Because I would think if something went boom and caught somebody on fire, I don't want to be the first guy in. I'll be dragging hose for you guys and meet you in 5 minutes.
Right.
How do you interact in that kind of a situation,
you know,
coming in?
It's a process, situational awareness for us, where we're looking at the structure and, you know, do we see smoke? Do we see a door blown off its hinges or windows blown out?
Some clues?
Those are some basic clues to us. And then, you know, is the person out front of the house with the skin hanging off because they've burned themselves? So it's those types of things. Obviously, if, you know, we roll up and we've got smoke coming out the windows and we know it's a structure fire, then we go into fire mode at that point. But again, those unknown types of calls, investigation, odor call, those things where you're really guessing on what you're showing up on, what type of scene you're going to be dealing with, and it's keeping a very open mind what to expect. And a lot of it is experience and what you've dealt with before.
So what is a typical, if there is, kitchen fire?
Typical kitchen fire?
How does that present? When you guys show up, I would think the house would look pretty normal, and there'd be somebody at the front door waving you in.
Yeah, usually light smoke coming out the door. Is a normal sign, normally caused.
You mean like Thanksgiving at the Papsteins.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we're going to have extra crews on that day for your house available, ready to respond. But yeah, again, light smoke, not a real heavy necessary, unless it's really involved kitchen fire, but light smoke, somebody that you'll may see a garden hose running from the lawn out and through the door as well. You get inside, cabinets are burned. Curtains could be burned near the kitchen itself. It goes right up into the cabinets. You know, you'll see the pot that has been tried to be picked up and taken over to the sink and dropped on the floor, and there's burn marks on the floor now. So those are the kind of the typical things we see.
And that's almost a relief for you guys?
Yeah, it is. We know then what we're dealing with in that. In that point, you know, that we can pretty well pinpoint what was going on there, and we can see the smell, the burnt food, and know what they were having for dinner or breakfast, and you have a pretty good idea.
Even Woods can be the investigator on this
Even
one.
Even I can figure some of those out.
Now, when it's a laboratory setting, is it the kitchen? Is it a back bedroom? How does that vary?
It's all of them. You'll see a combination of all of them, and sometimes it's in a bathroom where they're doing, you know, refining their hash. And again, that's where the butane gas drops down, goes to its lowest point, and finds a bathroom heater, for instance, and confined spaces where that explosion is really confined but intensified in those close quarters.
Not out in the garage kind of thing?
Yeah, we don't normally not out in the garage. Yeah, these are indoor type events that we see.
Just, it's... it's intriguing to me, but I guess it's kind of like what they talk about with the pot farmers. You don't get the smart ones weaving down the street,
right,
carrying the load behind and the $100,000 with them. It's the guys that can't figure it out.
Right.
Jeez. What does it smell like? It's got to have a unique odor to it.
It does, and I'm a bad person to ask smells.
Oh, you don't
after
have a smeller?
After this many years, it's pretty well charred, my smeller.
I'm wondering, if the neighbors smell something, is that enough to trigger a call and get you guys out there and at least do an investigation that something isn't goofy?
Not so much with the hash type thing. More so with meth, obviously, where you get it smelling like dirty socks or something like that, or the marijuana grow, that sweet smell, but not so much the other way.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods from Humboldt Bay Fire. Ken, this time of the year, obviously, we're starting to sense that summer's over.
Yes, it is.
At least on my tree, it is. Boy, did that sucker drop a... Yeah. It was such a weird year this year for that maple. It was started dropping in July and then stopped.
And then
did a little bit more. And then there were two branches that decided they were going to be the holdouts. And I think yesterday or the day before, boom, gone.
That's it. Finish it
off. Oh, geez. When obviously we're getting close to seeing some of those changes going on. What's your biggest concern about this time of the year? Is it the heaters that are really the concern?
There's a couple. The heaters, particularly the floor heaters, where people haven't had them on all summer long, and they've stacked things on them and kind of forgotten about them. And then it gets cold out, and they turn their heater on, and they don't realize what they've left there. And we get those calls for structure fires because of material that's left on the heater and catches on fire. So that's
regular heaters in the house?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Or like bedrooms, things get piled up.
Right. Clothing, particularly, on top of those papers, cardboard. Yeah, we see it fairly frequently. Actually, is those floor heaters, they'll put out a significant amount of heat, and over time, you get that material will just start to combust, and then pretty quickly, it's up the walls and into the ceiling and any other material around.
So does it get dried out and then catch fire, or does it dry out and then kind of crumble and land on the unit?
No, it's really dried out, and that heat is directly impinging on whatever the material is there, and it catches fire from combusts from that point and starts. So, we see a significant number of those floor heater fires every year.
Older, younger? Or does it just people just kind of go, oops, I forgot?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. It's just, they've piled stuff on there, kind of forgotten about it, haven't used it for summer long. It's a new storage place, and then you get the results that way. Other ones, chimney fires. Chimney fires, as people start to use those chimneys more this time of year, and maybe they haven't had them cleaned. And it's important to clean those because the creosote builds up on the inside, and that will catch fire.
Cleaning them doesn't mean do a really hot fire.
No, that
and burn the gunk out.
That doesn't normally. Yeah, that's not where. What you'll see is when we go up on top when we've had a chimney fire and we look in that chimney, and you can actually see it's almost like a glass bottle type material that forms inside your chimney, and it looks really like glass, and it's very thick, and
so kind of like the oozy stuff out of the telephone poles.
It's creosote, but it's hardened now.
And right.
But it's like that same stuff. But it's hard and it's thick. So when you get that buildup, it eventually will catch fire and it'll run the whole length of the chimney. Then the problem you have is when you have cracks, or in the masonry, or if you have a metal pipe that has a slight little gap in it, you get a fire in the chimney itself. It extends into the attic, and then we've got real problems.
How long does it take that to build up?
Depending on the materials that you're burning.
Okay, let's forget about the Christmas wrapping paper and some of that. And those are nasty stuff also.
Right.
But let's say it's seasoned wood.
You know, normally seasoned wood, we still like you to have your chimney clean once a year because there will still be buildup. But what do you get your fire started with before you put in your seasoned wood? You know, are you using plywood? Are you using particle board? Are you using cardboard? Are you using those types of things to get your fire going? And that's normally...
Kindling an egg carton.
Yeah.
Isn't that the traditional one?
Right. Well, at your house?
Well, I mean, growing up it was, yeah.
Yeah, sure. And when you get those type of materials for the, again, starting your fires, those are the ones that put out and coat the inside of your chimney. And seasoned wood, again, not that big a problem, but it's the other materials, and then you'll get the buildup.
Now, is it the same with the wood inserts and the gas and the Franklin stoves and all that kind of same principles across the board? Or?
Same principles. If what are you using to start your fires? But if you're pellet stoves, we don't see the same kind of problems. You know, not a buildup inside the pipes themselves. We see more problems with controlling the pellet, those type of mechanisms, those things that are more mechanical in nature or electric,
the mixing,
that are dispensing.
Things.
Right. We see more issues with that. Or
operator errors.
And a lot
saying?
Of time is the next one is the flue is closed. They haven't used their chimney all summer long. They start that first fire, and the flue is closed, and the house is suddenly filling with smoke.
You know pretty quick, right? And you open the flue, and you open the windows.
Well, that's normally after they call us, but yeah, then we get
really?
It figured out. Yeah. Yeah. No, you get calls, you know, my house is filling with smoke. I don't know why. And it's their first fire and they haven't opened the flue.
When I hit my head against the wall, my head hurts. How come? KINS News and Information. You know, it'll keep you guys employed. What the heck? KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, this time of the year also, we start getting into the concept of holiday.
Right.
Ho, 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 and gobble, gobble, and
yeah.
Great pumpkin and all that kind of stuff. Part and parcel of that is the daylight savings time.
Correct.
This weekend.
Coming up this Sunday, and we want to remind everybody when they change their clocks to also change the batteries in their smoke detectors. And again, smoke detectors do a fantastic job of saving lives, and it's well worth just taking those few minutes and that small investment of changing those batteries, and they do provenly save lives. So change your batteries.
How many should you have?
Well, you should have one in each sleeping area, so each room, and then on each level of your structure in the hallway, essentially. And you don't want to put one in your kitchen right above the stove. But somewhere, you know, living room, downstairs, again, on each level. And then
by the fireplace.
Yeah, not right above the fireplace. But in all those individual sleeping bedrooms are very important.
Makes sense to have one in the garage?
No, the garages have a tendency, depending on the type of alarm, and we really don't necessarily see them or recommend them so in the garage as much. But in the interior living spaces of your structure.
Now, you're saying smoke detectors. What about the carbon monoxide detectors?
Yeah, and that's a problem in garages, too, from vehicle exhaust. But when you, again, you do want to have one on each level of your home, the carbon monoxide. But one and on a level, each story was fine. We'll take care of it.
I would imagine changing filters on the heaters would probably be.
Yeah, that's a good one to do. That's important.
I mean, as long
too.
As we're going to be doing silly, stupid stuff, we may as well do
that's
it all,
right? That's right. Take care of that too.
Yeah. I got to agree with silly,
that's
stupid
stuff. That's
a good
point. Yeah. We're going to put you in the Fire Prevention Bureau.
Oh, good. You dress me up like the clowns you guys used to have? Or like the clowns you have now?
Wants to get a bigger suit.
Yeah. At least a bigger clown nose, right? And with instructions on how to install rather than using it as a hat.
Right?
The nose, yeah. Thanksgiving's a little bit away, but it's going to be here before we see each other again, unless, at least on a broadcast basis.
Correct.
Yes, okay. These deep fryers, do you guys cringe when these things start to become so common or people have fryers in their kitchen? All I see is liquid fire.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. And, you know, those turkeys taste great when they're cooked in the oil, but we want to remind people not to use those indoors when you're using the kettles. You want to go outside. Don't do it on your deck either, your combustible deck, and make sure that you have checked before you heat that oil and drop that turkey in, that you'll see that turkey fits in the liquid and how much space it occupies, so that you're not overflowing that hot oil onto a burner. But we, again, see number...
Well, that would be impressive, wouldn't it?
It is impressive. Okay. It is. And it spreads very rapidly as well. So we want to remind people to use caution. Use those cookers outside, not on your deck, but not in your garage, but outside. And when used properly, they're great.
Invite people over. Yeah. Don't have them respond.
That's it.
Yeah. What do you do with old oil? Is that a hazmat?
You can recycle it. You can take that into those places that take oils. You know, using peanut oil, whatever, is not the same as using your motor oil in a hazmat situation with that. But you can dispose of it in acceptable oil container places that take those things as well.
You got to tell me, somebody hasn't done a turkey in 1040. Have they?
I'm sure they have.
You haven't firsthand seen that one?
No, okay. I have not seen it. Yeah.
You know, I hadn't thought of that as even a variable on the
I'm
list.
I'm sure it's been attempted out there.
Oh, my. Hey, that's just beyond belief.
We may see it this weekend now.
Yeah, now that we've introduced the concept into the community.
Give it a try.
Yeah. Holy cow. Well, hopefully you guys aren't going to have a whole lot of medical responses to have to mess around with this weekend and have a little bit of free time, huh?
Yeah, we hopefully not. And again, we want to change our own smoke detector battery, so hopefully have some time to do that when we change our clocks and put things in right perspective going forward into winter.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love and see you tomorrow.